Hello, this is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM on your radio dial. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. And by the way, if you're not listening to us on your radio, perhaps you're listening on your computer. That's kptz.org. And you can listen to this live show. You can also listen to some podcasts of previous shows. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? What about the women in black, those women who stand there very quietly? They certainly aren't quiet all the time. What do they do in their real lives? What about the few dedicated skateboarders who seem to ignore everything as they blissfully glide along back and forth, up and down? Who are those guys? And what about the guys who hang off gliders at North Beach? What in the hell are they doing up there, and who are they when they take off their wetsuits? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with people who make up the eclectic mix around here. We talk about their lives, their dreams, their hopes, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers, and teenage beauty queens. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer and the soaring pine trees. Listening to Our Town is a way to meet some of Port Townsend's authentic and even eclectic people, your neighbors, your friends, and particularly the people you don't know, but you'd like to meet them. Today, we're going to be talking with one of the more successful entrepreneurs in Port Townsend, Chris Nelson, who's the owner of not one, not two, but three successful pubs and restaurants in Port Townsend. She's the sole proprietor of Sirens, Alchemy, and most recently, the Old Whiskey Mill, which used to be called the Public House. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Let's start at the beginning. Were you born in Port Townsend?
I was not born in Port Townsend. We moved here when I was 7, so most of my memories are of Port Townsend, but I was born in California. We moved out of California when I was 1, so I don't really have any memories of that. And then my parents were going to OSU and U of O until I was 7, and then we moved up here.
And why did your parents decide to come here?
My grandparents moved out of California and to Anacortes. So my parents were up visiting them, and they thought the whole area was beautiful. Traveling around and having fun, they stumbled upon Port Townsend, fell in love, and decided that that's where they wanted to be.
Well, jobs are hard to come by in Port Townsend then as well as now. So what did they do when they first got here?
My dad actually almost right away got a job building the pier on Indian Island. There's cool. A lot of people I know that went out there and helped build the pier, and he was one of them. And after that, he was a plumber and a contractor and sort of fell into that line of work later on, designing and building houses himself. And my mom got a job for domestic violence, and then later on Child Protective Services, and she worked for Child Protective Services for most of her life, or career, I should say.
So you went to the local schools here. You went to Port Townsend High School.
Yep.
And which group of kids did you hang out with?
It's such a strange label. The labels really kill me when looking back. And even at the time, I thought that, you know, the labels were a little bit funny. I mean, I suppose that in looking back, I would say that I hung out with more of the quote unquote popular or jock people, mm-hmm. You know, and that seemed to work for me.
Well, what did you do outside of school hours? What things were you active in?
I took ballet and jazz for my entire growing up years, 7 until I graduated from high school. I was in the plays in school, so I was sort of into drama. When I was 14, I went and got a job.
Uh-huh. What was your first job?
I worked at the Burger Works, uh-huh. Which is now where Winnemar Real Estate is, and there was not a McDonald's at the time, and so the Burger Works was where it was at. I got a job as a short order cook at the Burger Works, and I loved it.
Oh, good way to start. Well, now, were you one of these kids who were very focused and always knew what you wanted to be when you grew up, or did you just sort of drift along?
I would say that everybody probably thought I was extremely focused. At the time, I thought my favorite subjects were math and science always. And I took all the advanced classes and the finishing classes, and I was going straight into college and all of those things. So I was pretty driven, and I thought that maybe I wanted to be an engineer, until when I got to university and I started taking some of the engineering classes and finding out really what that meant. It sounded like a really good job until I sort of figured it out. And I was like, okay, no, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah, it's funny how some of these things sound real glamorous until you have to actually do some of the stuff.
Well, you know, a lot of things sound amazing when you're 17 years old.
Yes, true.
What I really loved was math. I started taking a lot of finance and economics classes, and I realized that what I loved really was math meets human behavior. So I took a lot of business and economics classes, and that's math meets human behavior. And you put all of the numbers and the linear aspect to humans and what they like and their passions, and it's extremely fun, class-wise, to guess, you know, what people will do and how and why.
So what'd you end up majoring in?
I have a degree in international finance and economics.
Okay. And then you immediately found a job doing what?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't really get the memo that you're supposed to get out of college and have a job. And I was like, oh, no, I want to go travel around the world. I want to, you know, try new things and see new things. Everybody was planning for where they were going to get their master's degree. Everybody was planning on who they were going to marry and what house they were going to buy and how many kids they were going to have. And I realized that I didn't want any of those things. I wanted to go travel and explore and figure out what I wanted to do. I thought maybe I'd join the Peace Corps.
Yeah, that's a good choice. That's a way to see the world without having to pay for it, really.
Right. That's exactly. And that was my goal. So I actually applied, and I really wanted to go to Africa. Unfortunately, when you're in the Peace Corps, they don't really want economics and business majors so much as they want health and human services. You needed to know how to grow something, which I didn't. I didn't have any animal husbandry. I didn't have experience in nursing or anything, you know, that they were looking for. So they put me in what was at the time that newly formed USSR. States at Georgia, and I didn't want to go there. So I turned down my placement, and I decided that I would wait.
Bad girl.
I know. I decided I would wait for a different placement. In the interim, I would just go travel myself.
Right. Yeah.
So off I went. I traveled all over Europe and the South and in all the Eastern European countries. And I realized that I could travel on my own, and I could go explore and learn and do all those
things. True, but you have to pay for it.
I don't mind that. You save and save. When I came back, the Peace Corps had found me new placement, and I decided that that wasn't what I wanted to do at all. I wanted to figure out my own way of traveling. So I actually applied for a job managing some of the food services out at Fort Worden State Park on a six-month contract. So that way, I could work 80 hours a week, 6 months a year, and travel the other half of the year.
This is an excellent plan, you know. You work, but then you have time off to play.
Yes.
And so how long did you do that?
Well, I did that for 5 years. I was 23 years old. I applied for this job that I didn't think they'd hire me. And they believed that I'm actually Peter Simpson and Brent Shirley, whom I didn't know at the time. They hired me. They believed that I could do it. I'd worked in food service since I was 14 and never stopped through college or high school. Then it was sort of a vertical learning curve on how to manage people and how to make all your numbers work and things that I didn't have a lot of experience in. But I learned a ton, and I really appreciated the opportunity. And I loved the fact that I had half the year off.
Yes, that would be excellent. Well, when you first started being the boss, you were quite young. What tips do you have for managing older workers?
I mean, I guess I would just say you don't need age to be an issue. If age is an issue for them, that's something you should talk about. If age is an issue for you, which is probably the bigger thing, because the older person often doesn't care so much. If you're the younger person and you're trying to puff up and be important, that's not really going to work.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to accept that you have a certain amount of skills and work with the person, regardless of who is the person in charge. Okay, so you're the person in charge, so work with them. You know, come up with your ideas, negotiate with them. Don't try to tell them what to do and try to be more important.
That
typically doesn't work, age aside.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, then this sounds like a perfect gig to me if someone wanted to travel, which you clearly wanted to. 6 months of work, 6 months of travel.
Yeah.
So why did you give that up?
Well, so I was having a really great time, but then there was this pub downtown that had opened. the first day that I walked into this pub, I fell in love. And it was like the perfect place. I so enjoyed the atmosphere and everything about it. After a year, it was closing due to some bad business choices. So they were trying to either sell it or the estate was coming. I really wanted to buy it. I convinced my boyfriend at the time. I was a little bit too afraid to have a business by myself because I was only 27. So I convinced my boyfriend at the time to go into business with me. Not a fantastic business partnership choice. Then I bought Sirens.
Huh? Was it called Sirens?
It was Sirens at the time.
Huh? So you bought it. Did you go in and make any dramatic changes?
Well, over time. I'm not a go in and make dramatic change person. I'm a go in and learn what works person. I think makes a lot more sense because there is no business that I've ever seen that is outright. I mean, if it's in business and it's sellable, usually there's some things that are working. So go in, find out what's really working, and then find out what you can add to it. What would make it better? What would complement what's there? How to make it more successful, if that's what you want to call it.
So you and your then boyfriend bought it together, and did that work a longer term?
For about 2 weeks.
I see.
And,
that's rather quick.
And then we separated right away. It was sort of a year of going back and forth on who was going to get the bar. I had the majority share of the bar, but he didn't want to let his part go. After fighting about it for a while, I realized that wasn't the part of business that I was that interested in, was fighting over things, and it starts to become very negative. So I decided to sell my part. I did. And then I bought the Fountain Cafe. That was fantastic. It was shut at the time, but we opened it back up for dinners and then added lunches. And then I bought Giardini's. After a couple of years, I got Sirens back.
Well, now, wait a minute. Right now, you don't own either the Fountain Cafe or Giardini's. So what happened there? What happened there?
Well, so for just over 4 years, 4.5 years, I had the three businesses, and I was 31, 32 years old. And it was really hard. I was new enough in business. I didn't really have a long-term staff to do a lot of the tasks and take on a lot of what was happening. And I just found it exhausting. So after 4.5 years of working 100 hours a week and being tired all of the time, I realized that wasn't what I wanted to do. So I decided to sell both Giardini's and the Fountain. Then I went back to just Sirens, and I had just Sirens for another 4.5 years. And we added, the full-on menu and expanded and redid all the things you see with Sirens now, and all the booths make their work environment a really positive. Redid a lot of everything. And so I focused just on Sirens, which was actually quite fun and delightful and super easy. It was like having one job.
Okay. You're listening to KPTC 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. I'm Marianne McNellis, host of a show called Our Town. Each segment of the show focuses on someone interesting around town. And today our guest is Chris Nelson, who owns several pubs. She just was telling me how she owned Sirens, she owned the Fountain Cafe, she owned Giardini's, then she got rid of Giardini's and the Fountain Cafe. She held on to Sirens. She then added two more restaurants. But let's just focus on one little thing about Sirens. It has a lot of unique touches. Mm-hmm. It really does. And I think you have a secret weapon helping you on the design. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
My dad is actually a contractor. So that's what I always say. I have a little secret weapon, and that is that I can walk into, like in Sirens, the room that has the fireplace in it, and I close my eyes, and this is how I want it to feel. I want the books to climb up the wall and then spread around a high shelf, and I want the booths to feel a certain way, and I want it to feel like a library room. And I talk to my dad about it, and I explain it, and he literally creates
that's great
what the feel that I was going for. Or the main room, every one of those tables is custom made by him because there's not quite enough space for just a standard table. So he makes
that's
like
really
all
great
of the, all of the furniture that you see, every deck table, everything you see. I'm pretty lucky.
You are indeed. Your second restaurant, of the ones you currently own,
yes,
is Alchemy.
Right.
And Alchemy opened in, what, 2010?
I think so, yes.
Okay. And what is the feel. You're describing how you want your restaurants or your pubs to have a certain feel. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the difference in the feel, in the, your vision between Sirens and Alchemy?
Well, Sirens, what I wanted Sirens to be is the best, you know, English gastropub that there was. You know, that's why we make everything from scratch there. And I just wanted uncommonly good pub fare. Alchemy, I was going for sort of craft cocktails and finer imported wines and celebrating wine and celebrating more of a European bistro. Hmm. So we have a lot of French recipes and Spanish recipes, you know, some Italian, and we touch on, but I was going for, you know, how I feel when I sit in a bistro in Europe and I'm eating dinner and what am I eating and what am I drinking and feeling that when you come in. So,
okay, I get it. And then just last summer, I guess it was, you took over what is now, well, it was called the Public House.
Right.
Now it is called the Old Whiskey Mill. And what feel are you going for in there?
Well, I'm not there yet, so please know that. The first year is always a little bit difficult. You know, you're trying to get your menu dialed in. You're trying to get all of your staff on the same page. We did one little sort of remodel, and I think it's halfway to where I want it to be. It's not quite there.
How many people do you employ at this point in time?
67.
Wow, that's quite a handful there. And is it relatively easy to find qualified people?
It's challenging. I have 67 staff, and a lot of times I take recommendations from them, and that's worked out pretty well for me because they know people and they know their job and whether the person would be qualified to do it. So that's worked out well. When I get good staff, I really try to hold on to them. I try to make their work environment a really positive place so that they will stay and so that they will choose to continue to work for me regardless of which place, you know, they work at.
Can people sort of move up the line, start as sort of a part-time, I don't know, dishwasher and move up?
I have a lot of cooks that started as dishwashers, a lot. I have a lot of wait staff that started as bussers. I have wait staff that are now bartenders. I have a bartender that started as a dishwasher. So for me, it's about starting. You start in a position, you learn how we do it. The skills are something you learn. Your attitude, your style, your work ethic, those are things that you bring to the table. The rest of it is skills we all learned along the way. I didn't spontaneously learn how to bartend from birth. That's something that somebody taught me how to do. And then a lot of experience, you become a better bartender. I wasn't a spectacular line cook when I first started, but I learned how to put out food in an efficient and good way. Those are skills.
How do you keep the team spirit up?
Lots of jokes and laughter, but I try to talk to everybody. And for me, I try to make sure that every person that I hire fits in the team. So there might be, you know, chefs are the easiest to pick on. There might be a spectacular chef that thinks he is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that person I probably wouldn't hire because that's usually a solo operator that likes to tell other people what to do. And I don't really like that style. My style is people, maybe they know that they're good, but they also appreciate the fact that your dishwasher and the other two guys that are standing on the line with you are just as important as you. And for me, I try to keep the ego out of it and make sure they like each other. They have fun at work. They like to work together. That seems to work out much better. And, you know, it doesn't always work out perfectly, but in general, that seems to work for me very well and has for a while now.
Well, you running three restaurants can't be easy. You must be incredibly busy. But I also know that you do other things and have done other things. You were on city council for quite a while.
Yeah, that's true. My free time has everything to do with my staff. I would not have 1 hour of free time if my staff wasn't all in. I mean, they come to work, they work as hard as they can, they make the best decisions they possibly can. That allows me to not have to be there every second. And I mean, I have staff that have worked for me, a lot of them have worked for me for 10, 12, 14 years. And they understand the style of how we do it. And so they can take on so many of those things. And so I don't have to be there every second. And it doesn't have to be about me. And I try to create things not just about me. I try to create it about, like, here's the restaurant. And the restaurant and the customer are what's important. And so here's what we're going to do about that. And here's some basic systems. And then it doesn't have to be about me. It's about all of us.
Well, I know you love to travel.
Yes.
And have you managed to continue to travel?
I do manage to continue to travel. I usually take a couple trips each year. Usually I take a trip for about 2 weeks, and I always try to take a trip for about 3 weeks every year. Again, the only reason I have been able to do that is because my staff pull together, they cover, it to where I can go.
Where have you been recently?
Last year I was in India and the Dominican Republic, and I'm getting ready to go for 3.5 weeks to China.
Cool. Right. Have you been there before?
I have not been to China before. I always try to pick as much as I can places that I've never been before.
Yeah, adventure.
So, yeah.
Now, you probably travel in a different style than when you were fresh out of college.
Well, I have more income, so that's more convenient. But I don't think that I travel necessarily. I don't go on tours. I grab my Lonely Planet. That's my favorite, personally, my favorite guidebook. I try to stay in hotels, sort of in neighborhoods and general areas, and I go and wander around. I like to see what's around the next corner. I like to eat in all the locals' restaurants. I like to, it's not so much about money. That's about a lifestyle choice. I want to learn the culture. I want to understand what they are.
You don't go on tours. You go by yourself or with some friends?
Well, mostly I go by myself. Sometimes I go with friends or a boyfriend, but I'm not really a big tour person. I like seeing what I want to see and experiencing it. I like getting away from the other tourists and seeing what I can find.
Yeah, that's sometimes hard to do.
It is.
Too many tourists sometimes.
Right. It takes a little bit more time and energy, but there's always a small boat to somewhere else. And I try to take it and see what's there. As for your question about do I travel differently? Well, when I was 21 years old, I was traveling around on Europe, and I was happy to sleep on the train most nights. That was no big deal. And I slept in nothing but dormitory rooms. And I have to tell you that now, you know, I don't want to share my room with that many people. I like actually getting sleep at night. My body hurts when I get off the train now after sleeping all night on it. I also am limited for time. I don't have 6 months off.
Yeah,
so
you got it.
I now have to fly. You know, I talk about one of my funniest was I was sat in a container, in an actual metal container on a boat to get to Bora Bora. I really wanted to go see Bora Bora. It was supposed to be so beautiful, and it was. But the only thing I could afford was $10 to sit in a container for 27 hours to get there. Everybody else flew for an hour and a half, and I couldn't afford that. And now I don't have the time to do that.
And have the money.
And I have the money to pay for the $200 plane ticket, and so I buy the $200 plane ticket now.
Yeah.
So part of it is time.
Okay, you know, we're running really short on time. Could you identify maybe your best and your worst experience traveling?
Ooh, yeah, that's hard. Best. Oof. Probably like some of my favorite moments. One of my favorite moments just recently, I was in Marrakesh, and they have a beautiful night market in their square, and it's walking alleys, even though there's motorcycles and everything going through too, and you squish really tight to get into these corridors to get out into the square, and you get to the square, and all of the smells, every smell is foreign, and all the people are dressed, you know, and operating really foreign. And there's snakes and monkeys, and they're cooking things I've never seen before in my life, and just pungent herbs and spices. And all of those things just are like a sensory overload. It makes me feel so alive. And it's moments like that that I just take a deep breath in, and it makes me want to go to yet the next place and see what else there is that's so alive. And I mean, it's moments like that. And that's just capturing a moment, you know. And I wouldn't even put that on the top of my list of complete days that are so spectacular, you know.
And what about the flip side?
Probably my worst experience was in East Africa. I was walking down the street about 9 o'clock in the morning, and a man came up to me and started swiping his knife in my face, one of my backpack, you know, and I wasn't going to give it to him. And so he held his knife up to my throat, and I thought, ooh, I might be in trouble here. And
this might not be good.
Yeah. And so then he took my backpack. But at the same time, he just seemed like he wasn't sure what he was doing. So I screamed as loud as I could, chasing him down the street. And a whole bunch of people came out into the street, stopped him, and I got my backpack back about 5 minutes later, and I was walking down the street again.
Trying to calm down.
Trying to calm down. Yes. You know, I mean, there's moments like that. And there's, I've had a few other moments where I was like, ooh, I might be in trouble here. And you have a lot of this, especially when you travel alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that. Well, you're a very high energy person, that's for sure. Rumor has it you're very much into Zumba.
I am. I teach Zumba every morning.
Wow. Every morning?
Well, I teach Zumba 5 mornings a week.
That's high energy.
Yeah.
That's high energy.
I mean, it also de-stresses me. It keeps me in shape. It actually gives me more energy because I sort of get to do my own thing and I feel better.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. But I understand it. So we're basically out of time. They're giving me signals. But one last thing.
Yes.
What's next?
That's a hard one for me. You know, I have so many goals. I said by the time I was 50, I wanted to pay off my building. That's the building Sirens is in that I bought. It looks like that's a possibility for me. My boyfriend lives in Toronto. I mean, I would love to spend more time with him, but then, you know, that would be a lifestyle choice. You know, one of my goals was by the time I was 50 that I would work only half the year and then I'd be able to travel half the year.
Well, these are...
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot out there.
I know. Okay. I have no idea.
Well, Chris, we're going to have to wind this up. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. I've been interviewing Chris Nelson, who owns 3 wonderful restaurants in town. I hope you all go to him and sit out on the deck at Sirens, but be sure and leave room for me. Okay, you're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM. Stay tuned for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.